Don't you never, oh, you be heavy laid on. Sometimes you may be burned on. Remember, God still loves you. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. God answer prayer. Sometimes the clouds grow heavy and mist obscures the way. Sometimes the way is dreary and darkens. His loving care. You see, God still loves his children, and he answers, God answers prayer. Keep on believing, keep on believing. My God, God's gonna answer your prayer. Keep on believing, keep on believing. And don't you never, oh, you'll be heavy laid on. Sometimes you might be burdened, you might be burdened down. Remember, God still loves you. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And he answers prayer. Oh, so weighed down with sorrow beneath the heavy load. We forget that our Father still watch above his own. How many needless sorrows the faithless they have to bear. You see, God loves all his children, and he answers, God answers your prayer. Keep on believing, keep on believing. My God, God's gonna answer your prayer. Never ever despair. Oh, you'll be heavy laid on. Sometimes you may be burdened. You might be burdened down. Remember, God still loves you. You gotta remember. No matter how hard it may be, God still loves you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, how thankful we are. We thank you because you are still answering prayer. You are a prayer answering God. You're a wise God. You're a mighty God. You are too wise to make a mistake. You're too just to do any wrong. And we've come this morning, first of all, to say thank you. Thank you that last night wasn't our last night, but you touched us bright early this morning with a finger of love and caused our golden moments to roll on just a little while longer. We thank you for this place of worship and this time you've allowed us to come in this sacred space, in this sacred place for the purpose of worship. For we believe that if we send something up, you will send something down. So now, God, we need you to fill this place. We need to hear a word from you. So now we step aside that you be glorified. Spirit of the living God, have your way now. Do what you said you would do. Exceed our expectations. And in it all and through it all, we promise to give you all the praise that belongs to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you know he's a prayer answering God, come on, let's give a great God a hand clap of praise. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on, let's give God praise. Come on, if you know he's a way maker, he's a burden bearer, he's a heart fixer, he's a mind regulator, he's a doctor in a sick room, lawyer in a courtroom, we ought to give his name praise. Why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you hug your neighbor and say, neighbor, can't nobody do us like the Lord? Come on, hug somebody else. Come on, stand on your feet. Find somebody, give them a hug and tell them, nobody can do you like the Lord. Come on, find another person. Tell them, nobody can do you like the Lord can. Now, if you believe that, give them the highest praise. Somebody tell them, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The Lord is good. Amen. Let me calm down before I get ahead of myself. Amen. But when you look back over your life and you see how good God has been, it's illegal to come to his house and not tell him thank you for all you've done for me. Amen. Certainly, good morning. We greet you in the name of he that was before there was and he that will be when was and were all gone. The name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who died and sits on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And how grateful and thankful we are to come to this Roanoke Salem Church and to celebrate what God is doing in the lives of his people. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? I'm certainly thankful to my friend and your illustrious pastor, one that has greeted me this morning with what I like to call radical hospitality. And that is the hospitality that exceeds your expectations. And I thank God. Let's celebrate him with his humble spirit. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And to your lovely wife, we thank God for her. Let's give her a hand clap. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And to our wonderful worship leader that has led us this morning. Amen. And to all these ministers of the gospel that share this sacred space with us, amen. To my assistant pastor, amen, one that I love and I thank God for, Dr. Veronica Lofton, amen. I tell you, she has a degree in making me look good, amen. And I thank God because I don't know where I would be without the Lord and Dr. Lofton. Amen. Thank you so much for your presence today and to this singing choir. Amen. Mother, you bless me. Amen. You bless me. I just love some good singing. And we thank God to each of you, to Lottie Dottie and everybody, to all those in protocol and all those I don't know to call. It's just good to be here on this day. And I must say this, I feel right honored pastor, to be asked to come today because normally as a young pastor, I'm doing youth revivals and youth day. But I've been asked to come for Senior Citizens Month. I feel a little special today. Amen. That y'all would call one of the youngest pastors of the association to come on Senior Citizens Month. And I begin to think about that thing, and I've come to discover that when the Lord blesses you to be of age, what a blessing that is. Amen. And I salute all of our seniors. Amen, that share this place. And I noticed the verbiage that the pastor used about how we always try to make sure we appreciate you. Because truth be told, it is that group that really is carrying our churches across the nation on. Amen. So we appreciate you. All the times you come when you don't want to come, we appreciate you and all that you do. And so many faces that I could say so much about. Amen. But you have all have asked me to preach, and we're going to do what thus saith the Lord. I want to call your attention this morning to maybe perhaps not a familiar passage of scripture. I thought it was Senior Citizens Day, so I said I would get a deep scripture so I could show y'all how much I know about the Lord and the Word. So I want to call your attention to Psalms 23. I want to call your attention to Psalms 23. Pray with me as we give the word of the Lord. Verse number 4, Psalms 23, verse number 4. There you'll find these words recorded. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to preach and tag this text using as a subject this morning, good advice for a valley walker. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's some good advice for a valley walker. My brothers and sisters, I want to start this sermon today entitled Good Advice for a Valley Walker. I want to talk about a man that was in a barber shop preparing to get his hair cut. And this man loved God. He loved the things of God. And as he was sitting in that chair preparing to get his hair cut, he began to talk about the goodness of the Lord. And he talked about where God had brought him from. And while he was talking, the barber said, "Sir, I don't mean no harm, but I don't want to hear nothing about God." He said, "I don't have a problem cutting your hair, but I'm not about to sit through you talking about God, because I am convinced that God does not exist." And the man began to want to rage up and begin to defend his God. But the man realized that he also wanted a good haircut. So he decided that he would keep his mouth shut. And the man did not say anything else about God through the time that he was sitting in that chair, because the barber said that God did not exist. So the man got his hair cut. He paid the barber and left the barber shop. And when he went on the outside of the barber shop, there was a man on the outside that was very much unkempt. His hair was overgrown. He was in desperate need of an edge up. He was unkempt, hair overgrown, in desperate need of some attention by a barber. So the man said, "Sir, can you please come inside this barber shop?" And the man agreed. And the man took the man inside the barber shop and went to that same barber. And he said, "Barber, I'm here to tell you that barbers do not exist." And the barber began to laugh, and he said, "What do you mean barbers don't exist? You're in a barber shop. You're talking to a barber, and you're trying to tell me that barbers do not exist." He said, "Yes, sir, I'm here to tell you that barbers do not exist, because look at this man. This man has no edge up. His hair is overgrown. He's in desperate need of some attention. So you can't tell me that barbers exist." The barber laughed again, and he looked at the man, and he said, "We as barbers exist, but we cannot help if people would not get in place to take advantage of our services." The man looked at the barber, and he said, "Well, sir, that's the same way God is. God exists, but I can't help it if you won't get in place to take advantage of the services that God has to offer." And I want to talk to somebody, because oftentimes in this thing called life, when we find ourselves with our back against the wall, when we find ourselves with problem after problem, and oftentimes we find ourselves in a place called a valley. Just tell your neighbor, a valley. We find ourselves in this place called a valley. And when you find yourself in the valley, you have two options. Either you can become a victim of the valley, or you can become a victor of the valley. Let me say that again. When you find yourself in the valley, because I know you think just because you are saved and sanctified and got a big Bible and a cross around your neck, it will exclude you from going into the valley. But just as sure as you are born in this life, you will find yourself in some valley moments. You will find yourself in some low places. You will find yourself in some places where it seems like everybody has walked out of your life. People have turned their back against you. People have stabbed you in your back, and you find yourself in a valley. But I want to talk to you on this Sunday morning, as God sent me here on divine assignment, to ask you the question: are you going to become a victim of the valley, or are you going to become a victor of the valley? Because I think it is so important for you to understand that what does not kill you will only make you stronger. And I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to about six people that you can testify that 2019 has been one of the roughest years of your life, but you've got a testimony. And my testimony is, I don't believe that he brought me this far to live. Is there anybody in here that's your testimony, that you know that enemy wants to make you throw in the towel, but you've got a mindset that I'm going to take a lick, but I'm going to keep on kicking, because I know what does not kill me only makes me stronger? Yeah, I think you ought to touch your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you can survive the valley. I know your back is against the wall, but I serve a God that may not come when you want him to come." But is there anybody in Roanoke, Salem that can testify that when he comes, he's always
on time? Y'all be seated. You're making me nervous. I'm just trying to paint this picture that we can survive the valley. What is the valley? I'm not talking about the Shenandoah Valley. I'm not talking about a beauty valley. I'm talking about a valley that is full of death, a valley that is a dry place. It's a dark place. It's a place of non-productivity. Hey, but David lets us know how we can survive the valley. Before I get in the text, can you just touch your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you can survive the valley." David, a man after God's own heart. David, a man that was not people's choice, but David's was God's choice. Can I say that again? David's was not people's choice, but David was God's choice. I think I ought to say that again. David was not people's choice, but David was God's choice. Notice now, stop trying to be the choice of people and learn how to be the choice of God. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me in here. David was God's choice. Notice now, when they were about to anoint the king, David was not even in place. David did not get an invitation, but wound up being the guest of honor. Y'all ain't gonna help me in here. Isn't it amazing how God works, that when sometimes when people look over you and when people say you don't have what it takes, that you've got the wrong last name, you don't have enough education, but when God says I'm for you, if God be for you, He's more than the whole. Is there anybody in here that you could testify that people said you would not be where you are, but it was nothing but the grace of God? And when God puts the favor of God on your life, favor is not fair, but favor is final. David, this man, now that he went on in Psalm 37, he said, I once was young, ain't young no more. Now I'm old, but one thing, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. This same David, son of Jesse, this same David that God looked at his heart, he wrote that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. In other words, David made a decree that whatever you need God to be, God is. We try to get so deep in the church and try to come up with all this philosophy and theology. But can I tell you, I don't have no big word today. I'm not coming to exegete and eisegete. But the only thing I want to tell you is that whatever you need God to be, God is. Can you just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God will be whatever you need him to be. So David says, watch the language of that fourth verse. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Can I help you here? The first thing I want to tell you about a valley is that valleys are inevitable. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, valleys are inevitable. I want to let you know, one of the worst things we can do is have an unrealistic expectation that life will be without trouble. For in this world, John 16 and 33 says, in this world, you will have trouble. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. You're going to have discouragement. You're going to have disappointment. You're going to have suffering, sorrow, sickness, frustration, failure, and fatigue. But you've got to have a mind to get up, dress up, show up, and never give up. Y'all ain't gonna help me this morning. I said, you gotta have a mindset that I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna dress up, I'm gonna show up, and I'm never gonna give up. Is that anybody's testimony? That I don't believe he brought me this far, so in spite of my valley, I'm still gonna get up, stick my chest out, and I'm gonna declare that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. First thing I want to tell you, David lets us know that valleys are inevitable. Tell your neighbor, valleys are inevitable. First thing you got to realize, valleys are inevitable. But the second thing you got to realize is that you have to admit that you are the person in the valley. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me this morning. I'm about to cut across the field now. You have to admit, notice the text. David said, yea, though I. See, we don't like to talk about that in the church, Pastor. We got a degree to talk about everybody else. We know everybody else's business. We know what everybody else got going on. We love to get on the tell-it-all phone and talk about everybody else. But this is a season. You don't need to talk about nobody else. You need to focus on one word, and that one word is I. I'm one of those preachers that love to tell you to touch your neighbor. But for a minute, just forget about your neighbor and touch yourself and say I. See, you got to be real about who's in the valley. Because sometimes you focusing on everybody else's valley and everybody else's problem and everybody else's struggle, you don't see that you're in the valley yourself. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I. You need to focus on you. Because watch this, even if you are on the right track, you will get run over if you just sit there. You got to focus on you, because it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me here. I said it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. You've got to realize, even though I'm in the valley, I can't stay where I am. Notice what David did. David opens up the 23rd Psalm, and he creates a great vision. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He ends the 23rd Psalm with a great victory. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So he starts out with a vision. He ends with a victory. But between the vision and the victory is the valley. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me here. See, all of us got a vision, and we're trying to get to the victory, but we don't know how to handle the valley. Ask your neighbor, neighbor, can you handle the valley? You got to be honest with yourself and admit that you're the person in the valley. The first thing you got to understand is that valleys are inevitable. Secondly, you got to admit that you're the person in the valley. But the third thing you've got to do, you've got to announce your persistence in the valley and keep on walking. Notice what David said. I'm in the text, Pastor. David said, yea, though I walk. Walk is action. Walk is progress. See, when you get a little senior citizen, you may not walk as fast as some other people walk, but if you keep on walking, the same place they get, you will get. But you can't stop. You got to keep on. Can you touch yourself and say, self, I got to keep on walking. I come too far to stop now. Notice now, David said, yea, though I walk. So, Pastor, that teaches me that the valley is not a place of residence. The valley is a place of reference. Right. Oh, y'all ain't going to help me here. David said, yea, though I walk. In other words, I'm not going to get stagnated. I'm not going to get stifled. I'm not going to get stuck. I'm going to keep on walking. Is there anybody in here that you could testify? Pastor Horton, I've been in the valley, but one thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to stay in the valley. I'm not going to stay where I used to be, but I'm going to keep on walking. And can I just help David out a little bit? Not only should you keep on walking, but you ought to have a little pep in your walk. David said, yea, though I walk. And see, your enemy know that they done hit you with the best shot. So just don't have any kind of walk. Have a little pep in your walk. Is there anybody in here that you could testify that my back's been against the wall? But one thing I'm going to do, I'm not going to stop, but I'm going to keep on. Touch your neighbor. Say, neighbor, keep on walking. Somebody said, well, Pastor Horton, how can I keep on walking? You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I got going on. How can I keep on walking? It's in the text. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear. No, he tell your neighbor, don't be scared. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Fear, F-E-A-R, face everything and rise. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. David said, watch this, how can I do it? He said, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. And that's good news for somebody this Sunday morning. To let you know the reason you can make it through the valley. It's because you're not in this thing by yourself. But I used to hear my grandmama, she used to sing a song. And she used to say that he walks with me. He talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And I've come by to tell Roanoke, Salem, that you don't have to worry about being in the valley, because we serve a God that is able to see us through the valley. And I wish you would do me a favor as I get ready to close. Just touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, you can make it through the valley. How can you make it through the valley? You can make it through the valley because we serve a God that is able to see you through. And I wonder, is there anybody in here that you've got a testimony that my God is able to see me through? So if you see me giving God the praise, I'm praising him because I know he's able. Good morning, Roanoke, Salem. May the Lord bless you real good. See you later, alligator. And after a while, crocodile. But is there anybody in here that knows you can make it through the valley? David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever when I see Jesus. Is there anybody here that wants to see him one day? You want to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up higher, and I'll make you ruler over many things. Ain't he all right? Don't y'all fool me now. But is there anybody here that knows my Jesus? Is there anybody here that knows my Lord? Won't he make a way out of no way? Don't y'all fool me now. Do I have a witness here that can testify? He'll put clothes on your back, food on your table. Ain't he all right? Y'all ain't standing my talk, but can I tell you one thing? How I know he's all right? Because over 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, they put nails in his hands, nails in his feet. They pierced him in his side. He lowered his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he died. Didn't he die? He died on Friday. On Saturday, went down to hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He said, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? And somewhere between Friday and early, can I say it like I feel it? I said early, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Say yes, say yes. Do I have somebody here that feels like giving him praise, that feels like lifting him up? He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your hallelujah. Say yes, say yes, 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 yes. He's all right. He's all right. Do I have a witness? Is he all right? Lift your hands and say yes, 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 yes.
Come on, let's keep praising. Let's keep praising the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for this man and the word of God on this morning.